Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, March 15th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Dozens are dead following an attack in New Zealand.
This can now only be described as a terrorist attack.
President Trump lays out a timeline for a trade deal.
It will be something that people are going to be talking about for a long time.
And stocks in China gain on the promise of tax cuts.
The Senate rejects President Trump's emergency for a border wall. Plus, a North Korean diplomat says gangster-like demands caused the summit collapse with President Trump. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. St. John's ousted for the Big East tournament by Marquette. Seton Hall advanced past Georgetown. NHL, a win for the Islanders.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at seic.com/IMS.
At least 49 people have been killed in a terror attack in New Zealand. We get the very latest on this breaking story now live from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael.
Nathan, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says the country has suffered one of its worst mass shootings after attacks at two mosques in the South Island city of Christchurch.
It is clear that this can now only be described as a terrorist attack.
Police say they have arrested three men and a woman. New Zealand Police Commissioner Mike Bush also says there were a number of IEDs attached to vehicles that were stopped and have been made safe by the Defense Force. I'm Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen?
All right, Michael, thank you. And we'll be updating this story throughout the morning. We turn now to global markets with stocks around the world gaining this morning. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8.5 points, Dow futures up 80, NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany up 0.2%, CAC in Paris up 0.4%, so is the FTSE 100. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.8%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.62%, yield on the 2-year 2.46%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 18 cents to $58.79 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.70 to $13.01.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1325, the yen, 111.69. And this data check brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Nathan.
Karen, in China today, Premier Li Keqiang wrapped up the National People's Congress by announcing tax cuts to help spur the economy. Bloomberg's Wes Goodman has details from our Singapore bureau.
He announced this value-added tax cut that's going to take place August 1st. He talked about the job strategy, said he's hopeful for a U.S. trade deal. You know, and for bond investors, he did say that he's open to using interest rates to support growth, you know, maybe signaling that China is considering cutting interest rates.
That speech helped boost stocks across Asia. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The CSI 300 was up 1.3% on the close, while the Shanghai Composite closed back above 3,000 points. The Nikkei rose 0.8% as Governor Kuroda reiterated it would take time for the BOJ to achieve its price target as it once again left policy unchanged. However, Japan's central bank did downgrade its economic assessment to reflect a weakening in exports. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. President Trump says we could get a resolution to the U.S.-China trade dispute next month.
One way or the other, we're going to know over the next 3 to 4 weeks. And if that one gets done, it will be something that people are going to be talking about for a long time.
The remarks come after earlier reports had said a summit between Presidents Trump and Xi could happen this month. Joe Sumchick is more from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Both sides have been saying for some time that they are making progress. There are still some difficult issues to work through, but there is movement. Going forward, we're looking toward April. Perhaps then they will meet, sign off on some deal. The Chinese have been reluctant to go in without most of the deal worked out.
Sources tell Bloomberg China is pressing for a formal state visit, which would traditionally take place in Washington rather than a low-key appearance to sign a trade deal.
Turning to Europe now, Theresa May's bought more time for her Brexit deal. The Prime Minister won backing from Parliament to seek a delay to the UK's exit from the EU. Bloomberg's Anna Edwards has the latest from Westminster in London.
Theresa May won her vote asking for an extension of Article 50, although the slightly surreal nature of things continues to unfold here in Westminster. Her Brexit secretary, who earlier in the day had stood up to argue for this government policy of delay, then voted against it. She managed to fend off amendments that could have made her life much more difficult around a second referendum and Parliament taking back more control.
The delay buys May more time to convince her party to back her deal or risk a lengthy Brexit delay they want to avoid.
Here in the U.S., we're learning more about what led the FAA to ground Boeing MAX jets following that crash in Ethiopia. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us with the very latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. A new piece of evidence convinced regulators to ground the Boeing MAX planes. Bloomberg News has learned a device found in the wreckage of the crash indicates the plane was configured to dive. The 737 MAX jets will remain grounded until Boeing updates flight control software, which House lawmakers say could take at least 6 weeks. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. And General Electric makes the engines that power 737 MAX jets. CEO Larry Culp tells us the company will work with Boeing and U.S. authorities to learn the cause of the crash.
Safety is a paramount concern for everyone involved. And once we have root cause, we'll obviously work to do whatever we can to help address it.
Shares of GE rose nearly 3% yesterday.
Shares of Facebook falling following news that the company's chief product officer is leaving the company. Sarah Fryer has details from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
You haven't heard about Chris Cox, but he is so essential. He's at the core of Facebook. He was promoted recently to oversee all of Facebook's products, including Instagram, WhatsApp, and Messenger. He created the news feed. He's basically the soul of the company. And he's leaving, which means to me that there are some tensions at Facebook about the future of the product. And he did hint at those, saying that Facebook deserves somebody to take on the next step of product development who's very excited about this privacy-focused direction that Zuckerberg wants to go in.
Shares of Facebook are down about 2% in early trading. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on the attack in New Zealand and the rest of what's happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern called it one of New Zealand's darkest days after mass shootings at two mosques in the South Island city of Christchurch. At least 49 people are dead from the attack.
These are people who I would describe as having extremist views that have absolutely no place in New Zealand and, in fact, have no place in the world.
New Zealand Police Commissioner Mike Bush.
Four are in custody, three are men, and one is a woman, as I understand it.
Bush also says there were a number of bombs attached to vehicles that were stopped and have been made safe by the Defense Force. Israeli warplanes struck about 100 Hamas targets in the Gaza Strip in response to a rare rocket attack on Tel Aviv. The army said that its targets included an office complex in Gaza City used to plan and command Hamas militant activities. It is the latest sign of the fallout from Kim Jong-un's failed summit with President Donald Trump last month. A top North Korean diplomat says Kim will soon decide whether to halt nuclear disarmament talks with the U.S. The diplomat says talks collapsed because of gangster-like demands. The Senate has voted to block President Trump's declaration of a national emergency so he could build his border wall with Mexico. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Republicans, out of courage, out of principle, and maybe out of exasperation, are beginning to constrain the president when he goes too far.
The president tweeted just one word, veto. The newest Democratic presidential candidate, Beto O'Rourke, has vowed to run a grassroots campaign. O'Rourke continue his three-day campaign swing through Iowa today. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more on day one.
Climate change at the top of his agenda.
This is our final chance. The scientists are absolutely unanimous on this, that we have no more than 12 years to take incredibly bold action on this crisis.
Meanwhile, President Trump says he has a concern about Beto.
Well, I think he's got a lot of hand movement. I've never seen so much hand movement. I said,
Is he crazy, or is that just the way he acts?
To which O'Rourke responds,
I have nothing to say to that. I think people want us to rise above the pettiness, the smallness. They want us to be big, bold, ambitious for this country. And that's what I'm focused on. That's what I see here today in Burlington.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the St. John's basketball team will gather around the TV Sunday to find out if it's one of the 68 teams going to the NCAA tournament. Most experts believe the Red Storm will be invited. Their two regular season wins over Marquette, a big reason, but Marquette crushed them last night at the Garden, 86-54, led by Big East Player of the Year Marcus Howard, who scored 30 points. So tonight in the semifinals, Golden Eagles will face Seton Hall, who got 31 from Miles Powell, 73-57 over Georgetown. That may have locked up an NCAA bid for the Pirates. At the ACC tourney, Zion Williamson returned from that injury induced by the broken sneaker. What a performance by the freshman sensation, who seems certain to be the first pick in the NBA draft. 29 points. He didn't miss a shot. 13 for 13. Duke beat Syracuse 84-72. At the Coliseum, Islanders 2-1 win over Montreal to stay 2 points behind Washington in the division. Exhibition baseball ties. Mets and Cardinals 1-1. Zach Wheeler outstanding. Yankees and Blue Jays finished 1-1. Luis Sessa made his case for making the team with four scoreless innings. With Odell Beckham off to Cleveland, the Giants needed a wide receiver. They signed veteran Golden Tate. The Jets' big free agent signing, Le'Veon Bell. Happy to be in New York.
This feels amazing. You know, it still feels surreal right now. Like, I'm still trying to keep my emotions intact. But, you know, this is an amazing feeling right now. Just be ready. Big things coming. Big things coming, man.
His legs should be fresh. Bell didn't play at all last season in a contract dispute with the Steelers. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanchel. Nathan?
John, thank you. Tune in this weekend to the Bloomberg Business of Sports show when we speak to Tom Dundon, the owner of the NHL's Carolina Hurricanes and chairman of Dundon Capital Partners. Catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. or download the Bloomberg Business of Sports as an Apple podcast on iTunes. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good Friday morning. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are gaining and U.S. stock index futures edging higher, with the benchmark set to recoup losses from last week as worries about the global slowdown appear to ebb. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7.5 points, Dow futures up 72, NASDAQ futures up 30. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.62%, yield on the 2-year 2.45%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 16 cents to $58.77 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.40 to $13.01.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.13.14. The yen, 111.69. Today we're watching for a report on Empire Manufacturing at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:15, it's industrial production and capacity utilization. Then at 10, consumer sentiment and the JOLTS jobs report. And Tesla unveiled its new Model Y crossover late yesterday, and investors are greeting the debut with little enthusiasm. Tesla shares are down about 1.9%, or now down more than 2%, actually, in early trading. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. New Zealand Police Commissioner Mike Bush says the death toll has increased to 49 in shootings at two mosques. Bush told a news conference that a man has been charged with murder and will appear in court tomorrow. A man who earlier claimed responsibility said he was a 28-year-old Australian and described anti-immigrant motives in a manifesto. Four people were arrested. The Senate voted to block President Donald Trump's declaration of a national emergency to pay for a wall at the border with Mexico. The 59-41 vote was short of the 67 needed to override a veto promised by President Trump. In the NHL, the Islanders won along with the Capitals. The Bruins lost. In the NBA, the Celtics won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest on this Friday morning, William Hobbs, Chief Investment Officer at Barclays Investment Solutions. Good Friday morning to you, Will. And we are seeing a lift to equity markets this morning, despite the delay to U.S.-China trade talks, despite lingering growth concerns. How do you read this market this morning?
Yeah, Nathan, morning. Thank you for having me on the show. I mean, for us, I have to admit that there's quite a bit of hot air in the balloon at the moment. And we feel that the kind of cold, hard reality of what's going to be likely pretty stingy earnings growth this year around the developed world, as well as the fact that we see higher interest rates coming across the curve, that's going to stick a pin in it at some stage. We're not chasing this rally. I have to admit, we'd rather lean into emerging markets at the moment.
What emerging markets do you see looking more attractive? Where are you overweight at this point?
We're more overweight Asia. That seems to be the area where there is still a bit of a mismatch between expectations and what we see as the likely incoming reality. China sort of easing measures are starting to bear a little bit of fruit. We expect there's more in the pipeline. You saw this morning at Premier Li Keqiang's press conference and in the MPC that you know, they're bringing forward the tax cuts a little bit, and you may see a little bit more monetary easing that's going to sort of support that modest uptick in credit growth. We just see things stabilizing a bit there. And that should, take one of the obstacles out of the path of Asian equities in particular.
Well, the premier did seem to sound a little bit of a reluctant note in terms of engaging that in that kind of large scale stimulus like quantitative easing. How do you see China managing this?
Yeah, they're not. They're clearly not willing to get the blunderbuss out. I think they've learned their lesson from the last one. They know a little bit more about the consequences from a sort of major easing, and I don't think they necessarily see the need. I think certainly what they did find, which surprised everyone a little bit, to be honest, is that their kind of financial stability measures were a little bit too successful. On some measures, I saw the Brookings Institute argue that growth slowed to as much as 4% in December for China. That's obviously way lower than they want, and so I think they just felt that what they need to do is just try and nudge it back up to that target 6.5% again. That seems to be bearing a little bit of fruit. Like I say, they've turned the taps on a little bit, but I don't think they're going to want to get the big guns out, so to speak. I don't think they necessarily need to just yet. They're trying to nudge it back up to trend.
Got to ask you about Brexit. Looks like a delay is a little bit closer to reality here. Where do you see this going? I mean, is there any way to make a prediction on where Brexit goes now?
I think I'm always reminded of an old comment by one of my old bosses, and he said the greatest. He turned around. He said, "Well, the main protagonists themselves don't know what comes next. We should be wary of knowledgeably second guessing them." I think that very much applies to Brexit at the moment. This is not a place where strong views belong. The interesting thing, I was reading the papers this morning that this withdrawal bill that's probably going to go for round three in Parliament next week on Tuesday is the current sort of estimation. It's got the dubious honour of suffering the first and fourth largest defeats in the history of the House of Commons. I think that's dating back to the Parliament Act in 1911. So that's some amazing feat. And people are starting to whisper that eventually this deal, maybe a third or fourth time of asking, might actually make it through. The Brexiteers' resolve may be weakening a little bit. We shall see.
Yeah, they do say third time's the charm, but in terms of length of delay, how much does that matter to investors, whether it's a three-month delay, a year-long delay, or even more?
Well, I think that it's really about, so I mean, if you get, according to the votes last night, if you get the deal approved next week, then only a short delay will be needed because you just need more parliamentary hours to do the necessary work. If it's rejected again, then you get the long delay. And in a sense, the point about that is it's more of a stick for those politicians who've campaigned for Brexit their entire political lives. Do they start to wonder whether Brexit will happen at all? And does that get them over the line open enough for a deal they clearly don't like, but probably better than no Brexit at all. So that's probably the relevance for investors. The thing to remember, though, with regards to Brexit, I think, and this is a really important point to remember for even investors just constrained to UK assets, is that Britain has long since ceased to be a prime mover for the world economy, and it is the world economy, particularly the US, that sets the beat, the drum beat for capital markets, even those domiciled in the UK, to be honest. So Brexit is a, it's full of intrigue, it has relevance for sterling, but for the rest of the world's capital markets, it really should be a mess.
Will Hobbs, Chief Investment Officer, Barclays Investment Solutions. Enjoy the weekend when you get to it. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Thanks for being here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Green on the screen, S&P futures up 8, Dow futures up 81 points, NASDAQ futures up nearly 33. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. At least 49 people have been killed in a terror attack in New Zealand. We'll have the very latest in just a moment.
First, though, let's get you updated on the market. Stocks are higher around the world to close out the trading week. Equities in Japan and China led gains in Asia. Chinese Premier Li Keqiang announced tax cuts that reinforce expectations for an eventual pickup to China's economy.
Meanwhile, the Bank of Japan left its monetary stimulus program unchanged and downgraded its assessment of the economy. Bloomberg's Brett Miller reports from Tokyo.
The BOJ conceded that overseas economies are slowing, which is hurting Japanese exports and factory output. The downgrade came as the government suggests the BOJ could be more flexible about reaching its 2% inflation target. This may be a relief to Governor Kuroda as the negative side effects of his stimulus program pile up. In Tokyo, Brett Miller, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brett. Shares of Boeing have dropped nearly 12% this week following Sunday's Ethiopian Airlines crash. Bloomberg News has learned U.S. regulators were convinced to ground Boeing MAX jets after finding a device in the wreckage of the plane that was configured to dive. Meanwhile, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports the jets are likely to remain grounded through at least next month.
According to House lawmakers, after they were briefed by aviation regulators, they say flights will not resume until the planes get updated flight control software that Boeing and the FAA are racing to finalize. Congressman Rick Larson, the Democratic chairman of the panel's aviation subcommittee, and whose district includes Boeing's campus in Everett, Washington, says that process could last for 6 weeks or more, depending on additional training for pilots. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Shares of Facebook down about 2% after news that Chief Product Officer Chris Cox is leaving the company. Cox is the highest-ranking leader to depart Facebook since the start of its privacy scandal last year.
On the earnings front, shares of Broadcom rose 5% in late trading. The company reported profit that beat estimates.
Shares of Oracle down more than 3% this morning after a disappointing fourth quarter revenue and profit forecast.
And Adobe shares are down more than 2%. That company's projecting profit that falls short of estimates.
And futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up 8.5 points, Dow futures up 81, NASDAQ futures up 32. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.62%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.45%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 24 cents to $58.85 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has the latest on the mass killing in New Zealand. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern calls it a terrorist attack. About 49 people were killed at two mosques today in what's now the South Pacific nation's deadliest shooting tragedy. Ardern says the country was targeted because it's not a safe harbor for extremists.
We represent diversity, kindness, compassion, A home for those who share our values. Refuge for those who need it. And those values, I can assure you, will not and cannot be shaken by this attack.
Dozens of others are being treated for gunshot wounds. Four people were arrested. A man who claimed responsibility for the shooting said in a manifesto that he was an Australian who came to New Zealand to plan and train for the attack. Meanwhile, social media platforms, including Facebook, are facing harsher scrutiny after a shooter accused in the attack appeared to live stream the murders over the internet. Kim Jong-un will soon decide whether to halt nuclear disarmament talks with the U.S. That's according to a top North Korean diplomat who says last month's summit with President Donald Trump and Kim collapsed because of gangster-like demands. Israeli warplanes struck about 100 Hamas targets in the Gaza Strip in response to a rare rocket attack on the Israeli metropolis of Tel Aviv. The Senate voted to block President Donald Trump's declaration of a national emergency to pay for a wall at the border with Mexico. President Trump tweeted one word, veto. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
If lawmakers intended to send President Trump a message that he was out of bounds with his emergency declaration, he didn't sound receptive to it during an appearance at the White House, signaling he knew his action would survive with a matter-of-fact veto.
I'll do a veto. It's not going to be overturned.
But Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer voiced hope Republicans are more willing to split with their president.
My hope is that this past week isn't an aberration, but a turning point.
Schumer praised courageous Republicans for opposing the president, given he noted how vindictive Trump has been. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is proposing a $10 billion plan to push out the lower Manhattan coastline as much as 500 feet or two city blocks to protect from flooding. De Blasio said the project would protect the South Street Seaport and the Financial District. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, NBA teams like the Knicks desperately hoping to win the draft lottery, and they had to be salivating while watching the near-certain first pick of the draft, Duke's freshman sensation Zion Williamson, last night at the ACC tourney. Back from injury, Zion scored 29 points on a perfect 13-for-13 shooting, 14 rebounds, 5 steals, though he did miss 7 free throws. Duke beat Syracuse 84-72, so another Duke-North Carolina game tonight in the semifinals. Big East semifinals tonight at the Garden after Villanova beat Providence. Xavier on a late tip-in won by 2 over Creighton. And then St. John's last night, who beat Marquette twice in the regular season, got hammered 86-54. Too much Marcus Howard. Big East player of the year had 2 games this season with 45 points. Another one he scored 53. Last night he went for 30. Red Storm 21-12, hoping that'll be good enough to make the NCAA tournament. We'll find out on Sunday. Seton Hall beat Georgetown 73-57. Miles Powell, 31 points. The Atlantic 10 quarterfinals today and tonight at the Barclays Center after wins by Rhode Island, George Mason, St. Joseph's, and St. Louis. Hockey at the Coliseum last night. Islanders and Canadiens tied at 1.
And then a little crisscross at Barzell. 2-on-1 with Andersley. Barzell looking, waiting.
The Islander win, MSG the call. Isle still 2 points behind Washington in the division. The Giants have a wide receiver to try and replace Odell Beckham. They signed veteran free agent Golden Tate. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Businessweek is on newsstands now with the cover on Facebook's never-ending crisis. Sarah Fryer wrote the story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
This is a company that really starts to step it up and respond once there is public pressure to do so.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Businessweek. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Businessweek with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report, brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flatbeds for napping and afternoon tea. Daily nonstop flights to the UK in partnership with Delta Airlines. Good morning, Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Good morning, Nathan. Goldman Sachs is trimming jobs in New York. The company filed a notification with the State Department of Labor saying it will cut 65 jobs from its New York operations due to what it says are economic factors. Goldman typically cuts about 5% of staff around this time of year to make way for new hires. Better.com, the home financing startup backed by Citigroup and some other major financial firms, will make its new home in 3 World Trade Center. It's currently in a neighboring skyscraper, but has signed a lease for 44,000 square feet on the 59th floor at 3 World Trade Center. It has the option to expand to 2 more floors. An innovation from Shake Shack. Now, it's out of necessity. It's testing a 4-day work week. The company's CEO says it'll see how it recruits workers and if it keeps them. The tight labor market, the reason the company is trying it out. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Joan Doniger. Nathan?
Thank you, Joan. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for Kogo in San Diego, I'm reporting Tesla CEO Elon Musk has unveiled a cheaper electric crossover SUV, the Model Y.
I'm John Tucker for KTRH in Houston. I'm reporting U.S. oil waivers that rocked the market last year are coming back into focus.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're talking about Subaru planning to tear down its former U.S. headquarters in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
I'm Neera Chahich on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London, where following Prime Minister Theresa May's latest strategy to get her Brexit deal approved.
I'm Joan Doniger telling WWJ listeners in Detroit about what Ford's teasing, an electric Mustang.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And more automotive news this morning, more fallout from Volkswagen's diesel emissions cheating scandal. The Securities and Exchange Commission has sued the German automaker for allegedly misleading bondholders over the matter. Regulators say VW sold billions of dollars of bonds in the U.S. while concealing its emissions cheating scheme. Volkswagen has said it did so before it kept markets informed. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis of some of this morning's top news. Stay with us on this Friday morning. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks gaining this morning. U.S. stock index futures edging higher as well, with the benchmark set to recoup losses from last week. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 86, NASDAQ futures up 32. The DAX in Germany is up 0.33%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32nds, yield 2.62%, yield on the 2-year 2.45%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 17 cents to $58.78 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $7.50 to $13.02.50 an ounce. The euro $1.13.19, the yen 111.65. And washing shares of Tesla down 2.9% this morning. It unveiled its new Model Y crossover late yesterday, and investors are greeting the debut with little enthusiasm. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has condemned the attacks on mosques in the New Zealand city of Christchurch, calling it the latest example of rising racism and Islamophobia. In a tweet, Erdogan said, "On behalf of my country, I offer my condolences to the Islamic world and the people of New Zealand who have been targeted by this deplorable act. At least 49 people were killed in the attack." A top North Korean diplomat says Kim Jong-un will soon decide whether to halt nuclear disarmament talks with the U.S. The diplomat blames gangster-like demands for last month's summit collapse with President Trump. In the NHL, the Islanders won along with the Capitals. The Bruins lost. In the NBA, the Celtics won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion Editor Jennifer Ryan is with me now from our London Bureau. And we begin, Jen, with Therese Raphael's latest piece on Brexit. The No's have had it a lot this week in Parliament. So where do we sit?
Let me run through what's been voted down this week.
Okay.
So the Prime Minister's divorce agreement, leaving the European without a deal, having a second referendum, and holding more votes to find out what MPs really want. So you'd be forgiven for thinking that all that comes out of this country is no. The one thing that did get a yes was Theresa May's own motion seeking to delay Brexit. That passed, but as is ever the case now with Brexit, even that looks suspiciously like a government defeat, because it only won because a rival amendment that would have allowed Parliament to take control from her over Brexit was defeated, but really only by the narrowest of margins.
But the House of Commons did vote for delay, so is March 29th off the table now?
Almost certainly, for at least 3 months. I mean, however, the choice is still before MPs is between May's Brexit deal, now twice rejected, but by no means dead, and a long extension. So let me just explain an issue with this extension here. It's going to require the unanimous agreement of the European Union, and members there will almost certainly require the UK to set out clearly not just how the extension will be used, but also they're going to levy some financial demands and even perhaps require the UK to participate in European parliamentary elections in May. And this is something that neither Britain nor the EU countries really want to see happen. So if you put all this together, it looks like there could yet be some more support for May's deal, which she'll likely put before Parliament again next week.
And a second referendum, is that basically off the table now? Because lawmakers voted that down as well, didn't they?
Yeah, it really looks increasingly like a long shot. I mean, it was really an Alice in Wonderland moment in Parliament, because the voting down of the second referendum was partly tactical, and some of the groups that voted it down were the main lobby group pushing for it, who said it was too early to put the vote before the House, and the Labour Party, for whom it's party policy.
So who's in control of Brexit, bottom line, Theresa May or the Parliament?
I mean, this is an excellent question. I mean, Theresa May is still in office, but her role has just undeniably been altered. She's always viewed herself as a public servant. That's really been part of her image. But now she's just really become the servant prime minister. She can propose, but others decide. And her influence is really minimal, even within her own party and government. This is a really unusual arrangement for a country where the majority not only dictates the agenda, but tends to get its own way.
And it's certainly been fascinating to watch, even on this side of the pond. Let's move on to a piece this morning on the future of fashion. Andrea Felstead and Sarah Halzack say it's in rented dresses. Now, this is something that you hear a lot about for designer dresses, but even for off-the-rack stuff?
It's true. I mean, this is the future. It's not going to replace buying necessarily, but retailers are facing a lot of problems on some serious fronts. So we've heard a lot about women's clothing purchases, and that's diminishing as they tend to shift their dollars towards experiences such as vacation and meals out. And then also, you know, you'll forever have chains that have got too enthusiastic in their buying of the latest trends, and they're stuck with a lot of inventory. Renting them out could wind up being a better economic outcome than just merely discounting them. But there's a new twist to it lately. We've got the millennial generation, the Instagram generation, and all you want to do is look good in your selfies. And so for these people, they've got this one-and-done approach to their outfits. They wore it once and then on to the next. But what this produces is a practice known as wardrobing, which is you buy an item, get yourself photographed in it, and then back to the shop it goes. 1 in 5 UK consumers admit to this behavior. And this is a big and expensive problem for retailers because it contributes to their return rates, and that can be as high as 50% of all goods sold.
Yeah. So, I mean, how can this even be read as economical for retailers?
It's a really good question because you could kind of see how it works for a top line dress. But for something mid-market that retails much less, how does it work? I mean, there are companies such as Higher Street, which is a UK startup, and they offer 10-day leases at dresses starting at around £10. And the brands on their site include Inditex's Zara and some other well-known brands here in the UK, such as ASOS. And this compares well with the cost of buying an item from a fast fashion retailer. In the U.S., there's a company called Castle, and they offer rental services for its own Gwenny B brand, as well as for third-party retailers such as Ann Taylor. The economics here can be quite good. The operating margins can be as high as 25%, and that compares really well with the profitability of a mid-market fashion chain.
Dedicated follower of fashion, Jen Ryan, our Bloomberg Opinion editor. Thanks as always. Read more of these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion or by typing in OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Under a bill introduced in the House, the NCAA would lose its tax-exempt status if it continues its practice of prohibiting student-athletes from controlling or profiting from their own images. A patent infringement claim asserted by Dropbox backfired when a court invalidated its two patents at issue. The court ruled patents for data storage and security patents were directed to abstract ideas and ineligible for patent protection. And senators who hold the purse strings for health dollars will shield the Centers for Disease Control from major cuts proposed by the Trump administration.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Thanks, Steve. In other legal news we're watching this morning, President Trump's legal woes are hitting closer to home this week after New York officials started civil and criminal investigations into his businesses that are well beyond the president's federal control. The results could lead to charges against people in his orbit, including his children, with crimes that he can't pardon. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to former federal prosecutor Jeffrey Kramer.
The AG's investigation, it could be widespread depending where Deutsche Bank was involved, but it certainly gets into any loans that Trump or Trump organization was looking for. And that could get into a lot of different things. What documents were submitted? We know that Cohen, his former attorney, said that sometimes the documents that were submitted in support of loans weren't accurate. So this is the first volley, if you will, and we don't know how deep it's going to get into Trump's personal finances as well as the Trump organization.
Let's talk about the possibility of the AG subpoenaing Trump to testify while he's in office. When he was president, Bill Clinton eventually agreed to testify in the Paula Jones case. But could Trump successfully fight off a subpoena?
He probably can't fight off a subpoena. He could probably fight off sitting down for an interview or a deposition or anything like that. But a subpoena to the Trump organization certainly doesn't impact him as much. A subpoena to the bank doesn't impact his time at all. It's once you get into interviewing the president that these arguments come forth. But as far as subpoenas, I don't think he's got much of an argument to stop those.
If Letitia James, the New York AG, who is not bound by Justice Department guidance, finds criminal acts by Trump, can she indict a sitting president?
Well, under DOJ policy, no. But under New York law, there's nothing codified that says she can't. The same arguments would still be there. The president needs to run the country. He or she can't be bothered now or in the future with dealing with any sort of criminal case, even against them, when they need to be worrying about our military and our social structure, et cetera. So the same arguments would be there, whether it's in a DOJ policy or just an argument before the court.
That's former federal prosecutor Jeffrey Kramer speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures are up 8 points this morning, and Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.